Hello, my friends. Welcome back to the podcast. And as you hear me speak, this podcast episode is not going to be in German. So if you don't speak English, unfortunately, you would have to wait for the next episode to come out. This time, I'm not alone. I'm with my friend and colleague, Rachel Singh, who I'm going to introduce in this podcast episode. And we're going to talk about a super interesting topic. It was so much fun to interview Rachel and to talk with Rachel about this topic of the voice. What the voice and not using the voice has to do with our unhappiness, with our physical illnesses, and with our inability to voice our needs. That's the topic we're talking about. She is a vocalist. She's a vocal coach. She's a singer-songwriter, has a beautiful voice. And I'll link everything you need to know about her in the show notes. And now let's dive into the episode. Welcome to a new podcast episode. And as you hear me speak, you would realize, at least by now, that this is not going to be a German podcast, but it's going to be an English podcast for a very specific and beautiful reason. Because this time I'm not alone. I have a guest on my podcast, and it's been in my heart for the longest time to just have many conversations with super interesting and beautiful people that are in my life. And with this podcast, it's finally happening. I have my friend next to me, Rachel Singh, and I'm going to introduce her a little bit in a bit. And we're going to talk about a topic that not just us two have been talking about privately, but she's working on it professionally. And I've also used this tool, not in the way she used it or uses it, but I've always used this tool in my own life with my clients, and it's nothing less than the topic of voice. And how beautiful to talk about this topic with our voices in a podcast together in beautiful Ericeira, Portugal, because we live in the same place. We see the ocean, and holy shit, how beautiful is the ocean today? Mm-hmm. It's an October day, afternoon, the sun is shining, the air is really crisp now, it's getting a bit cold, and the ocean just today looks very, as if it's like not aggressive like it usually is, the Atlantic.
So blue, so bright blue.
Yeah. Shades of blue, almost like the Mediterraneans. And yeah, it's beautiful, and we're happy that we can bring this to you in this way.
Blue is the color of the throat chakra also.
Nice. And we're gonna dive deep. But before, I wanna introduce Rachel Singh to you. She is not just a friend of mine that I met probably 1.5 years ago now. Wow, it's been a while. And we both live here, and Rachel is from Holland, and she's a singer-songwriter and a vocal coach. So her whole day is filled with research and embodiment and teaching of voice and everything that has to do with it. And I find it super beautiful because previously now I made some notes and just to, you know, organize my brain. And I wrote down that the voice is the vehicle to connect the internal world to the external world, the inside to the outside. We speak what we need with our voice to transport what's in the inside to make it happen in the outside. So I feel like this is such an important topic that is so connected to, obviously, my topic, self-love, because we have to find our voice, we have to find our way to communicate the inside to the outside. And before we dive deep into this, welcome, Rachel, to my podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm so grateful to be here. Am I the first guest on your podcast?
The first English guest, for sure.
Wow, I feel so honored.
Yeah. And it happened so quickly. We're like, let's do it.
Let's do it, we sit here
2 weeks after.
Yeah.
How are you doing today?
I feel very good. Yes, I had quite an easy day. I had one session this morning with a 13-year-old girl, which was really, really special to be able to offer the space in such a fundamental time of someone's life where we go through, wow, so many things internally, like you said, you know, being able to express, put the internal outside is at that specific age really challenging.
Wow.
For many, many teenagers. And it's just a huge blessing to be able to facilitate that space for someone and see this young woman blossom and open up and release her shyness. It's everything. It's really, really, I have no words for the power. What that creates.
Mm-hmm. It's what brings, like, makes me think of 13, like it's an age of a lot of change, internal change, also hormonal change.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And probably, like, the more change there is in the inside world, the more you really have to adapt and adjust and bring your voice out differently.
Right. Right, and what happens very often is that either you see those children that will take up a lot of space in the classroom, they're always making the jokes, and then there are those few that go very quiet and they kind of disappear, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And specifically, I see this a lot with the people who come to do this work. They are in that stage of either feeling like they're just blurping out and not really knowing why, and then there's that deep suppression of the voice, and finding that balance, right, of when am I really tuned in, when to give space, when to share, when to not share, because also there's a learning in that when our own boundaries, you know, it's very connected to the voice as well, learning about our energetic boundaries and how can we use the voice to facilitate and support that so people don't walk over us and we express our needs in a respectful way, balanced way. There's so many elements to that, and we don't get those tools in high school, which I feel we should definitely start teaching kids at a very young age how and when to use the voice and learning how to communicate with their loved ones, with their friends. Not keeping everything inside, and also as well, respectfully, not taking up all the space, you know, knowing that balance, finding that confidence to be yourself, to completely be yourself.
Yeah. And voice, and also you said boundaries now, it's like creating a structure for you. You're creating your structure and like saying at the right time what's really alive for you right now, and you're creating a structure for yourself that you can exist in and that you can thrive in and that you can prosper in. And what I see in around me, especially around my clients, is this boundary piece. And this is also the reason why I've chosen the time now, and it's perfect to talk about this topic about with you, not just because of boundaries, but in general, because it's such a very important focus. And I love that your whole work is like around this voice piece. And now that we dive into it already after a few minutes, I'm realizing, wow, this is such an amazing and important tool that where the importance is not yet fully seen and understood. So thank you for bringing this into this universe. And you said there's kids that go into the direction of blurping out and using their voice a lot and like can't really control. And then there's the ones that are going in and shutting down vocally, verbally. And what would you say, what happened to you in this time? Were you more like the outspoken one, or were you more like the...
Yeah, I was very quiet. I went very inwards, which is totally not in alignment with how my planets align, because I'm a Gemini and I have Mercury, the planet of communication, right there by my side. So I was completely traumatized when it came to my own expression, for sure. A feeling that I was overpowered most of my childhood, and that I wasn't heard at all, that my feelings were not valid. And those are the things that trigger that going inwards, right? Because ultimately, as kids, what do we want? It's very simple. We need to be seen, and we need to be heard, and we need to be acknowledged. And when that is not there, because the parents are busy or they're very focused on themselves, which we see a lot more these days with all the distractions that we have with technology, that the kids, and that was me definitely in my childhood, starts to feel unimportant, right? And then. Basically becomes invisible. I became invisible. I started to live in my own imaginary world, and I was drawing. I did sing. I was always singing in my bedroom, and I was playing with my brother a lot. My brother actually brought that creative side out of me. And that was the place where I did feel acknowledged and seen. It was actually through the singing and being funny with my brother, you know. And
he's older than you?
Yeah, he's 5 years older than me.
It's a little bit like the Billie Eilish and his brother kind of theme.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. She created all of her songs with her brother in their children's bedroom.
Yeah.
And like the brother was really like, no, you're so good.
Yeah,
supporting her.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Exactly. My brother would be on this very old, you know, you had those big giant computers with very basic recording program. And he would take like CDs from Michael Jackson and Madonna, and he would get the intro or a little drum thingy that was here, and he would just loop it and create whole tracks like that and do some beatboxing over it.
Wow.
And he would invite me and say, Rach, I created this track, just sing. And I was like, okay. And I started to sing, and I remember it very well, that it just sort of happened through me, and it was completely beyond me. He's like, yeah, just try whatever. And then when once it was recorded, he looked at me, he's like, Rach, that was amazing. you should sing. Like, you should be a singer. I think I was like 8 years old or something.
Wow.
When he told me that.
Wow.
And yeah.
So yeah, you were both very musical in a way.
Yeah.
And your parents were musical too?
We had music playing in the house. A very musical house, and in that sense, that was really helping develop a musical ear, because some kids they don't have instruments. The parents they don't play music. What they often develop is complete disconnection to music. They even become tone deaf. You know, this is the result of kids who don't have sound in the house. So that I thankfully had that my parents were always playing music, and there was always a CD on with like Too Limited, all these 90s Sade, all the great mm-hmm. very, very great artists. And that definitely supported my musical journey, mm-hmm. for sure, yeah.
And a safe container, as in with your brother, and then going from there. And I feel like this is very important, that when you want to discover something about yourself, to really go into a safe space and it's a safe container, however this is going to look for you, and just really explore for yourself. And especially, I guess, when it comes to voice, and when we talk about the context of singing now, when we take this as an example, like, we don't have to go on stage and like sing in front of your fucking whole family. Like, do it for yourself first. Find a safe container where it's appreciated, and even if it's just from your cats or your dogs, you know.
Of course.
However, you can create some safety. So this something, if it's voice, it can come through.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's also very interesting that, you know, we all recognize ourselves as those little boys or girls with the hairbrush in our hand in front of the mirror, like being like a celebrity, you know, because ultimately internally we all have that that it somewhere moves us. We just want to sing. There's something inside each one of us that wants to just sing and celebrate themselves. It's about celebrating yourself. That's what singing is about. And yeah, we call celebrities for a reason, because they're all celebrated for being up there. But unfortunately, we have mistaken that as, oh, now we also have to become celebrities, and that is what singing is for. But actually, singing is just a way to celebrate you, to celebrate life, to celebrate the moment. It makes you feel alive. It makes you feel alive.
It's also something humanity has always been doing, singing together. And how fun, it's like one of my favorite moments with my girlfriends in the car, and the hit comes on, and we're just like so passionate about it, and we're just loving it, and like, oh my god, best day of my life, it's so nice. Okay, and going back to, you shut down a little bit, or you became quiet and you expressed with your brother, thank god for your brother. It's also, it creates our identity, you know, it creates the understanding of ourselves. What do we identify as? Oh, I identify as a more introverted, non-speaking, not much speaking person. And by identifying with this kind of, with this persona, we act on it. Not because we actually it, but just because at some point in our lives, we got maybe shut down and then went into the other direction and identified as such. And then we grow and grow and grow and grow. We come to a point where we're like, what the fuck? Who am I actually?
Yeah.
What's happening? Like, is this really me? And I guess this is a place where people are. And then this is a time where maybe they contact us or other people where they see, okay, something needs to shift or change or heal, because I don't recognize myself. My life doesn't feel like it is mine. I don't feel like I have created this. I feel like it happened to me. It came from an identity that's not actually me, but now I'm here. So what can we do about it? And like, de-identify or find your true essence, identity, however you want to call it.
Yeah.
Very important.
Yes, it's we live in a world where we love to put things in boxes, and somehow that makes us feel safe when we are put in a box, and then we kind of validate in that way how we express or how we don't express ourselves. And obviously, I do like things like human design and astrology. So there's like looking at your chart and which planets are aligned with you, and how can you, in the best way, move with creativity? Because we are all creative. We are all expressive, and we are all creative beings. Some more with our hands, some more with our voice, some more with our mind, our, you know, in our intelligence. But ultimately, for all those creative expressions, you do need to Use your voice. You need to share it. You have to share your ideas. You have to, that passion inside of you, that emotion that is there, you have to be able to bring it out. And the only way is really through that channel, right? How else is it going to come into manifestation? Everything, the manifestation process starts with a thought. It's, you think it, like the table, the chair, everything. It starts with a thought, a simple idea. And then what happens? You put that idea into sounds, into words. And then eventually it becomes materialized. So, and eventually also believing in that and staying excited in that process is obviously a really part of important part of the manifestation process. Being confident to go out and do it and share it and talk about it.
It's almost like the vibration of your vocal cords, like the initial vibration you create while speaking is energy transporting into the outside world and creating something, because you make energy, you make sound by making sound. Like there's an energy starting from the vocal cords going to your mouth, outside into the world. It's a nice image.
Yes, and you see it in so many examples that sound does move matter.
Yeah,
right. When you see these beautiful research, they even do it in schools, you know, one plant, they speak bad words, and the other plant, they speak really uplifting words, and the other, it flourishes, and the one that's just surrounded with all this negativity, it just dies, you know? It is so evident that everything is frequency and it is vibration. Your body is like a harmonic orchestra playing in this beautiful, coherent structure together if you're healthy. If the body is healthy, the cells are coherent, everything is speaking music, sound. And so to make sound, to connect with your sound, is to be with all of life, with all of creation. It's to heal the body, it's to open yourself up to everything that is possible for you.
I think that's also been very healing for my personal path. For example, really having the podcast, and I've done over 100 episodes now, and also the talking with my clients about these specific things, they have such a huge impact on my healing and on my journey and on my expression. Like the more basically I talk, the more I am guided into my authentic expression. By not even forcing anything, but by just voicing what's inside, by just voicing and like letting things come also in a coaching session or even a podcast. Even now, I'm just basically letting things come and using my voice to put it out. And I don't know if you have the same, but when you give a session and you listen back at it and you're like, I learned from myself. I don't really know where this came from, but it came and I got this information and I'm glad I just sat there and talked and used my voice. And even just especially for us women, like we self-actualize ourselves while we're speaking. Men sometimes don't understand it, because when they speak, they already have a solution or they speak for a purpose. They want to get a point across. And we don't talk sometimes to get a point across. We talk because we want to talk.
Yeah.
And we want to express, or we want to understand ourselves while we are talking. And men sometimes are like, oh, so what are you saying? Like, I don't know. I just need to self-actualize by using my voice. That's really, really interesting. And
Yeah. And what you're experiencing in that moment is something beyond you, right? Because you're like tapping into a source or a space or whatever you want to call it. Some people will call it like divine energy or Or some people even want to name it God, like speaking through you or moving through you. And that is so powerful. That is so, so powerful. Or our intuition, you know, when you begin to open, because from the crown up, because when we connect with the voice, we are connecting with subtle energy, with air, right? Mm. Like the subtle, with the breath. And so what we're connecting with the dimension beyond physical, beyond the physical. So we become more intuitive. We become more connected to the cosmic energies, let's say, right? Mm-hmm. And when we start to plug into that space, when the voice really begins to open more and more, you receive wisdom, mm-hmm. like pure wisdom.
So it's opening a
channel. And therefore you are able to share that with others, and you're healing yourself and you're healing others through that opening, through that connection.
It's so beautiful also when my clients, they have the experience of sharing vulnerably. Not because they came into the session and they know exactly what they want to talk about, but just having the space to just use the voice. And then after, they don't really know what happened. They maybe have one or two nuggets that they're taking away for the next times, but something inside of them just feels seen, just feels welcomed. And yeah, it's just very powerful. So maybe this is a reminder for all of you to talk to your girlfriends and really talk from the inside, like really bring out to the outside what's really in the inside in your own way, however this is available for you right now. Start really small. Maybe it's a little bit uncomfortable, but how much of uncomfortability, is this a word, can you do today? How much can you do today? And it's interesting, like talking about my journey with sound. I mean, obviously, I love talking. This is not a secret anymore for any of us. And just thinking about my question I had for you, was I the kid that would like go inside or go outside? And it's hard for me to answer because I feel like I was both. There's a part of me that I never really expressed that went inside into the fantasy world. But I've also been... maybe more extroverted. Like I would not have a problem with talking in front of people, but not because I'm so confident, but just because that was maybe my coping strategy. I'm not sure. And then I really, I wanted to be a musical actress. So I was really into dancing. And then one time my mom was a journalist and she took me to the premiere of this musical, Tarzan. It must have been 2009, I'm not sure. And she would always go to these and like take me as her colleague. And then every time I call her mom, she's like, no, you can't call me mom. I'm like, oh, sorry. Well, anyway, she took me and then we were at the after party. Like I could do these things with my mom, really cool. My mom also sings. Anyways, it doesn't matter. We go there and I watch the musical and I hang out with the artists after. And this was the moment where like, okay, I want to be a musical actress. Like, I want to do this. I already danced since forever. And then I started having singing lessons. And it was really fun. I really enjoyed it. Inside of my little singing lessons space. Outside of it, hell no. To this day, actually. It's a little bit better now. There's moments, especially when I'm drunk, I can relax a little bit more and maybe even show my voice. And now it's getting a bit more around my friends, like no problem. But there's still something. It's interesting because I love singing. I really love it, but it makes me at the same time super emotional. Like singing in front of people, like it would probably make me cry in like 10 seconds just because I'm overwhelmed. And this outlet is not really, hasn't ripened yet. If it makes sense.
Yeah. Well, go jump.
Let's sing.
Go sing for me. I would love. I heard you sing for the first time like 3 weeks ago. And I was like, what? It's so nice to sing with you. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we should go for it.
We should sing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Okay, but I think we're diving deeply into singing. But let's go back to the voice. Because there's so many
things. Don't escape. We're going to do it. If not today, we will.
For sure. I'm down. And I know it's coming. At this point in my life, I just know that the right things are coming.
Yeah. But what you say about, you know, expressing also vulnerably and emotionally is such an important part of voicing and healing the voice and opening the voice, because I think it's such a taboo to really express how we feel. Like, look at general conversation. How are you? Yes, I'm good. You know, generally that's how people will respond. And before I start any session with my clients, I will ask them, how do you feel? How was your day? How did you sleep? You know, like, just really connecting, really checking in. And very often they will in the beginning answer, yeah, I'm good. Yeah, I slept okay. Like, but really, how are you? You know, and then I ask again. And then they understand, they're like, oh, I have to really answer that question. Yeah. It's like, and then you see, yeah, well, actually, you know, yesterday I had this conversation. And obviously we don't have to immediately share our whole life story with everyone.
Some people do.
But if you feel that space is there and you really, as somebody is really there present with you and asking you, how are you? Take a moment even to close your eyes and put a hand on your body and your heart and check in and ask yourself, yes, really, how am I really? Mm-hmm. Like,
mm-hmm.
And that's in its own so powerful. It's like, oh, actually I feel this slight tension,
mm-hmm.
In my body, or actually something happened a few mm-hmm. hours ago. It really triggered me. And you can explain it in one sentence, two sentences, but it's real and it's honest, and I admire you for that, because you do that all the time when I see you, which is really, really beautiful and inspiring. When we start doing that for others, then they can do that as well and they feel safe to do the same.
Mm.
So, and this is how we can keep that ball rolling. Because
mm-hmm.
it's so easy to say, yeah, I'm fine, you know. And it's not the real thing.
It's not the real thing. And if we're talking about what you speak becomes matter, becomes your life, then what you speak becomes life, you know? A little bit superficial, unreal, not authentic, a bit weird, but not like your true self. And it's an awareness thing, you know? Like, it's also how I start with my clients. Like, I don't jump into tools or anything, but just like, point the focus to yourself and start answering the question, like, how are you for yourself,
mm-hmm.
genuinely. And I feel like many people are kind of subconsciously, even consciously, avoiding to answer it authentically because they're scared. Once they do, oh my god, then I realize how shitty my life actually is, so I'm just saying I'm fine. And they do this with themselves too, though.
Mm-hmm.
And voice is also not just using the voice for other people, like communication or singing, but also the internal voice,
mm-hmm.
how you speak to yourself. And yeah, I feel like there's a lot of courage needed, and maybe also safety from the outside, to really take the courage and ask yourself honestly and start seeing what's not working for you. Because there might be many things that are not working for you, but it doesn't mean that this can't be changed. It can be changed, and it actually must be changed.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you guys want it to be changed as well.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's hard to find the first step on how to do it, but maybe this could be a nice invitation to start there with this how are you question, especially with your friends maybe, or your partner, or yourself, you know. Sometimes I sit and talk to myself, yeah. Often actually,
yeah.
And it's very effective. And in the morning I talk, I pray, and then I use my voice, and it's it's just
mm-hmm.
I don't understand anymore how people are not doing it. It's a big mystery for me.
Talking to yourself is incredibly healing. I spent 18 days by myself in pretty much no phone, no TV, nothing, no distraction, just meditation. And at some point, it's really interesting when you just open your voice to speak to yourself, record your voice on your phone, like creating your own podcast. Like, what are the words that you need to say to you? How can you integrate this thing that happened that was quite still maybe heavy on you? Just speak it out. Use your sound to release and integrate that experience. It's so, so, so powerful. And it really helps, because the reason why we develop disease is because we hold things in, we tighten up, we have to open, literally, physically, just open up.
Yeah, if you have an emotion and you're not using your voice to vocalize it, and it doesn't mean like in a way only of talking, but I'm sure when you cry, or at least when you see a child cry, it makes sound.
Yeah.
And this is like a way of transporting the energy of the emotion out, so it's released. So it creates more space, it's digested in you. And, you know, communication and voice, it's not just for communication with people, with your partner, with your friends, with your family, people in general. It's not just for singing, but voice, as we touched upon now, is also a way to digest emotions. Mm-hmm. Voice is also used to voice your needs, to talk about your needs. Voice is also important for keeping a healthy physical body, literally, because mm-hmm. we all know how it feels when we even say it. Like, there's a saying, when you swallow things, you know, you want to say something and you swallow them. And so many women, what I see, and in the beginning you talked about the blue throat chakra, that the throat chakra is blue. So many women, they have hormonal issues in our, Schilddrüse.
The glands?
Yeah, the glands that is responsible mm-hmm. for regulating your mm-hmm. hormones is in the area of your throat chakra. Mm-hmm. And not just
the
this,
thyroid, yeah.
The thyroid, yes. And not just this, but, and we can touch on this also. But also our feminine body, how the voice and the vocal cords and everything in our throat chakra are so connected to our womb, mm-hmm. to our womb and this chakra, to the sacral chakra. And mm-hmm. This is why I love creating content like this and share knowledge, because people don't know this, you know, they're not using their voice because they're shy, but they don't have the knowledge of how important it is to do it, mm-hmm. not from a spiritual, like woo-woo kind of, you know, perspective, mm-hmm. but from a genuine, I'm a human being. If you have a physical body, if you have emotions, if you have needs, if you have a womb, this topic is important to you, mm-hmm. no matter how woo-woo you are. But this is very important. And yeah, maybe we can talk a little bit about, actually, 2-3 weeks ago when you heard me sing also for the first time, and there was the initiation of our idea to create a podcast together, mm-hmm. we were talking about having babies and receiving a baby, holding a baby. And it's been a really beautiful and touching conversation. And I actually ask you if you work with women and their voice so they can create space in their womb to receive a baby if they want to have a baby, because many women are struggling with receiving it.
Yeah.
And yeah, maybe we can bring us a little bit in this world.
Yes. Oh, wow. I actually was talking to a lady here who is all about birth and you know, getting that process even started of conceiving. And definitely I have had myself a huge hormonal issues and imbalances, because of the birth control pill, taking that for way too long. And so I noticed that, and actually the doctors at some point told me, you know what, we're not so sure if you can get pregnant now because, the ovaries are completely damaged because of the hormones. And so I started to change my diet. I was also vegan, vegetarian at that time. And then when I started to actually work with my voice in a holistic way, not just singing to sing, but really accessing my voice in my womb. And it also changed the sound of my voice completely, because before you can hear it in the videos of myself 10, 15 years ago, even 5 years ago, that it was an immature sound, let's say, right? We can feel it and sense it when somebody has embodied a maturity, and we can kind of feel that and sense that through the voice. And ultimately, to receive a child, what do we need to embody is that maturity, that love for oneself, which you teach, right? This self-love, to be able to receive is to embody love. And when you begin to understand that you can actually reach the voice in the pelvic floor, in the womb, and you start to open it and speak from that place, very shortly after, I got pregnant, actually. It was a miscarriage, 3 months, but it was a miracle in itself because I didn't think I was able to conceive for a very, very long time. And I actually I'm grateful for that experience, even though it sounds very strange, but I really took the time to be with that experience. I think a lot of women, they might go through something and they continue working and their daily life. But if you really sit in that container of being with your body and your womb in that space, it's absolutely transformational. And you receive so many messages from the many lives before you, because the womb is connected to the mother, right? It's connected to your mother, to your grandmother, to your great grandmother. There's this lineage that has come before you, that they went through their own stories and pains, and we carry that in our womb, and we feel that in our womb as women. And we live in a day and age where we now see that the earth is, you know, not in the best state where she is, because as a woman, we are not fully embodied in our truth and power. And it comes when we begin to connect with the portal of the womb and that essence that can come through when we allow ourselves to completely open this channel from the womb to the voice and use our medicine, our intuition, our the great connection that we have to care, to love, which is naturally inherent within us, and use our sound, use our words, our expression to manifest that change. I think it's going to shift all of reality, literally all of reality, when women begin to understand that connection between the womb and their voice, and how their power actually grows from that place out into the world, because they're both birthing channels. You birth life through the womb, we create life, we birth sounds through our voice. So imagine, wow, even the tissue, the fascia, the tissue is the same, the vagina and the womb. It's the same when you look The pictures, you look it up, the vagina and the vocal cords, that tissue is made out of the same.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see it. It looks the same. Mm-hmm. It looks completely the same. So when one begins to connect and open, the other begins to connect and open. And there is so much mm-hmm. power in that. It's everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
everything.
Yeah. Also, many women, when they feel pleasure, even when they have sex, they're not really vocal. They don't mm-hmm. really make sound. Also, yeah. maybe an invitation to breathe a little bit deeper when you
yes.
exhale, make a
exactly.
little sound. And it's so interesting because my womb and my voice have been super connected. And I realized this, I learned this also, what you just described, that our vocal cords and our womb, like the tissue, is just interconnected. It looks literally the same. Maybe you can just Google it and you'll find pictures. And I discovered this when I had a chronic yeast infection and mm-hmm. BV, bacterial vaginosis. And it's been going on for months, almost a year, with my then partner, and we could never really sleep with each other because then I would get it back immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And intuitively I knew that he was not the partner, and this is probably the reason why I have it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I learned that if I don't voice my boundaries, if I don't use my voice to say no or to say different please, my, in this case, pussy is gonna do it for me. My body mm-hmm. is gonna do it for me. My womb is gonna
yes.
do the job because my voice didn't protect me.
Yes. Oh.
And this is when I yeah. learned how important my voice is for my own safety mm-hmm. when it comes to boundaries, when it comes to my no. And
yeah.
when we talk about women being more powerful, we have to talk about women setting boundaries with mm-hmm. their voice.
Mm-hmm.
So their womb doesn't have to do it for them, or other physical symptoms have to do it for them. And yeah, really starting to dive into this topic of boundaries and voice, you know, how interconnected they are, how important they are, because they're literally there for your emotional and physical safety.
Yeah. Yes, it's so important that you mention this, because it's a very common thing for a lot of women, and I myself definitely have experienced that. I think all women go through that, and we kind of punish ourselves and feel shame, and like, why is my body mm-hmm. reacting like this? And then you have to really also look at, you know, how is the love making? Like, are you really open? Is your body really open? Is your partner really there, really present with each touch, each caress, taking the time for you to open? We are like the sensitive flowers, you know, the vagina and the voice, they are like flowers that to take some water, some sunshine, mm-hmm. some love, some extra loving, and then
some patience,
and then once, you know, it's open, and it smells beautiful and amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But the men, they need to understand
mm-hmm.
as well, because they don't learn this, and so we have to use our voice
yeah.
to express how we want it,
mm-hmm.
when we want it, and when, especially when we don't want it,
mm-hmm.
when we're not ready yet, when we're not feeling open yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then how we can indeed deepen the breath to really, just even that sound, like opening from the throat, to opening the throat widely, being comfortable to make just those which we portray as sexual, but they're actually the most healing sounds that we could possibly make any time of the day.
Look at kids.
We need to relax. You just
yeah.
take a deep sigh.
Yeah.
And just open your throat and sigh deep from the womb and feel how your pelvic floor just relaxes
yeah.
and opens, in your vagina and your anus and all the muscles around, because we tighten that area. Oh my god, we and you feel this also in your jaw, right? It's
yeah.
like that the upper body and the lower body, they are interconnected. So if the jaw is tight, the pelvic floor is tight. So doing jaw massages, really opening the mouth widely and really allowing, you know, doing some crazy vowels like I, you are, yawning, like be silly. You know, open this space with your sound and feel how your body naturally also begins to open and be able to receive, because yes, as women we can receive, and that's the power of the woman. We can receive so beautifully, and through that receiving we are able to manifest and create and become very, very powerful.
And when we don't, we're receivers, and when we don't have boundaries, we could receive something we don't want because we don't use our voices. Yeah. I remember on my first women's retreat that I did in my life, she always said, breathe in through your pussy and breathe out. Like, really let it come from this part. To integrate this part of your body to your breathing. And that was interesting. And you know, talking about sex is obviously a sensitive and a super interesting topic that is super relevant, I think, basically for everybody. And of course it's hard when we talk about boundaries and voice to start there, because maybe this is the hardest place to actually voice, because there can be trauma, there can be shame, there's so much scarcity of being rejected, of not being wanted, of being scared of not being attractive enough for your, you know, or being scared of the guy being angry at you when you say no. Like, oh, this is a very sensitive and big topic. And as we already touched upon previously, like, it starts very small, you know. Practice your no in small situations. Don't think you have to, after the podcast, master it in the bedroom. Like, no, it's going to take a bit of time. And I'm still learning, to be honest. And it's getting better and better. It's like an exponential curve. But start in the small ways of using your voice, you know? And then work your way down.
Yeah, and I think also preparing your partner and being like, hey, my love, I feel I need to voice more how I want it. Would you be open to that? You know, not that you're just there in the moment and you just start talking and it becomes this like awkward moment of when should I share, how should I prepare each other for that process. And I'm sure he will understand as well, he or she will understand and would want that if he or she really loves you and cares for you. That would be even super welcomed if you would say, hey babes, like, so there's this thing going on with my body, or I just notice maybe I need to voice more how I feel about certain things, or my needs. It's something that I'm going to work on right now. Will you be there for me to support me to that process? And that already creates such a beautiful foundation for you to start, even. If you feel that that's a topic for you, then begin to just even start by making that intention with the people around you, with your family or whoever it is. Say, hey, I felt I didn't express my needs or my boundaries as much, and I'm going to lovingly learn to do that more and more. And even that intention is so powerful because it ripples out. Intention is everything.
For sure. I feel like sometimes subconsciously people sabotage to start this kind of honest communication, because there's a part of them that knows that it will not be well received. And this part already also knows that this relationship is not for them. I have been in all relationships, and I knew after, sounds a bit extreme, but after 6 months in the relationship, I knew, no, this is not my relationship. Sometimes I stayed for another year or another two or another three. And I know I'm not the only one. And you know, having these conversations and starting to be vulnerable, it's also not a way of opening up to others, but it's also a way of opening up to your fears and to the intuitive knowing that's already there. And this can hold you back, and this, your inner critic could sneak in and tell you, like, no, no, just continue like this. No, don't speak about it, because when you do, this is gonna go to shit. But maybe it has to go to shit, because there's many relationships, from my experience and also from the experience from my clients, they're not healthy. And I always say everything is possible, for sure, for everybody, but the question is it worth it to go through so much pain to, after 10 years, maybe have a small step in the right direction? And I would answer this as a no. But I just want to also put this out there, because I understand when you're not in the loving, supportive, respectful environment with your relationship or relationships, then it can be hard. But still do it, because you need to see what happens, and you need to take the step to actually come into, to see your more authentic life in front of you by being more authentic within you. And it will cause change 1,000,000%, and it might be a little bit irritating in the beginning and through it, but after you will look back and say, thank God I voiced.
There's, you hit the nail on the head, because, you know, ultimately, yes, opening the voice is about embracing authenticity. It's about being authentically you. And we use that word very much, but what does that even mean, right? How does that even express itself? And the thing is when you, in this specific situation, when you know you have a desire or a need that's just basically not met, and you begin to voice that need or that desire, which ultimately attunes you to your authentic self, because you're starting to face that there may be a little bit of resistance, of fear of what will they think, how will they respond, what will they say, and you can just be the observer and watch that, but still do it anyway. Because ultimately that you jumping and embracing your authentic truth and speaking it out and saying it is going to propel you into the direction of living an authentic life, which ultimately brings you fulfillment and happiness and abundance and everything that you want. So after the change, that yes, maybe the relationship ends, maybe your reality begins to fall apart and you're like, oh my God, why did I say the thing?
And why did I listen to this podcast?
And why? But at the same time, sometimes, and like you said, change is not always easy, but it can be incredibly good for us, because you only see later and you look back, okay, wow, I was completely not embody my truth and what I meant to do, share the with who I'm meant to share that. And
this is actually the most hard part. You think change will be hard, and it will, but actually what people do by not being authentic, it's much harder on all levels.
Yeah.
Than being authentic. Of course, it comes with struggles, but you know, when you're authentic, you have struggles and you're okay with it, because you also practice through authenticity, self-acceptance and self-respect. And your definition of I'm feeling okay is not just when you actually feel okay in a way that you're not sad, but you're sad and you can say, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm good. Like, it's a very grounding and peace-creating state. Like, authenticity for me, it's like all about peace and quiet and grounding. And not always enthusiastic, ecstatic, overflowing, abundant, joyous, celebrative, but peaceful, you know? Peaceful and coherent with what's inside and what's outside, and, you know, trust.
Yeah, I love the word coherence, because it relates to music and sound, and that you know it when you're doing something that's completely coherent to you and your essence, and you also just know it and feel it physically, emotionally, when it's not. And we have to trust that.
Yeah.
We have to really trust those little signs and those little voices in the back of our mind saying, okay, is this really what we're supposed to be? And ultimately, like, when I sing a lot of mantra, and I do have this like Eastern and esoteric practices that help me as a foundation to create coherence in my life, because the sounds are like a technology, right? They're a vibrational technology that we basically, that moves the cells within our body. And in those moments, it can get very ecstatic and very high and blissful in energy. And the beautiful thing, some people, they would drink or take drugs, and to feel that intensity, that high of life. But they're just these beautiful esoteric practices that can give us that ecstatic, blissful state. And that kind of lingers through the day and through your life. And you know, like, wow, okay, in this vibration, I'm feeling my authentic self, because ultimately, yeah, we desire to be happy, right? Each one of us, we desire to be just simply happy, at least most of the time. This is why we're here, to enjoy, to simply enjoy life. Mm-hmm. And these sounds and these practices do help us anchor into that vibration.
I sit here and smile in my face, because I'm so glad that, first of all, I have such amazing people in my life and have such interesting conversations that feel so meaningful and helpful. And it's also a part of me that I've not really shown online. Like, my friends and my English-speaking side of me, which is a big part of my life, obviously, not living in Germany. And it just makes me happy. And it's really nice. And we've already been talking for an hour, and I think it's a good time. And I'm sure there will be some requests, or if you would like more about this topic, you definitely should let us know. And yeah, I hope you could understand the importance and the interconnectedness between the inside world and the outside world through voice and boundaries. And it sounds sometimes esoteric, but when you look at it, like, you can look at it from all different kinds of perspectives, but at the end of the day, on the bottom line, it's just a fact that we need to use our voice. Mm-hmm. Now that we have it, might as well use it. And Rachel, how can they listen to your beautiful voice more, and where can they find it?
So just by typing my name on YouTube, Spotify, Instagram. I have some new tracks coming out that will be very uplifting and,
so nice.
And deep. I think a lot of people can relate to those messages, and we'll hopefully sing along to them. So my name is Rachel Singh. My last name is actually Singh. So you can type S-I-N-G. H with an H at the end, and my first name is Rachel, and you spell this as a reach, so you can imagine like reaching for the stars,
reaching for Singh.
So reach for Singh, Rachel Singh, R-E-A-C-H-E-L, Singh, Rachel Singh. So that's how you find me. There's only one out there.
There is.
So that's good.
Yeah, and I will link your music and also your work as a vocal coach.
Yes, I offer one-to-ones.
Yeah.
I love to share and talk about this and actually bring people into that experience, because ultimately we can talk about it, but yeah, we have to experience to really understand the power of this work.
And Rachel has a beautiful ability to hold a space that is very unconditional and non-judgmental, and especially when we talk about voice, not just as a singing voice but also vocalizing things, this is so helpful and crucial and so important. And I think it's very, very nourishing for people to experience this, to experience a space like this. So if you're curious now or interested, just follow anything you will find and do your research, look us up. And
and just even if the seed is planted, you know, you find that connection, just naturally life will bring you the teachers and the places and the spaces to explore that. Just start exploring either way. It's so important.
So important. Mm-hmm. And very concrete, I am holding a boundary workshop next month. Unfortunately, this time probably only for our German-speaking listeners. I might do it in English too, where we talk about boundaries, where we need to use the voice. We talk about femininity, toxic femininity at this point, different archetypes. And it's not very, it's not generic, it's not general boundary tips that you see on Instagram posts. They're very specific, because boundary setting and voicing is very specific. It really depends, very individual, on where you are, who you are, in which situation you want to set the boundary. So it's very, I give the knowledge piece. So if you're interested in this, show notes and Instagram and newsletter and all of it, you'll find the infos. Rachel, thank you so much. That was so fun.
I loved it.
Oh, thank you. We're going to do it again.
Yes.
Until then.
Thank you.